coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Welcome to this week's Behind the News podcast, talking about news and events going on behind the headlines in Clinch County, Eccles County, Axon County, and Lanier County. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman today. We're going to talk about Hurricane Dorian and how South Georgia missed or got lucky, I guess, as Hurricane Dorian sort of slowed up and went east. We'll talk about a shooting in Clinch County that has gone on recently involving an officer with the Clinch County Sheriff's Department. We'll talk about the four-lane Highway 84 opening up fully between Homerville and Waycross in the past couple of weeks. We'll talk about qualifying for some local races and what to expect in elections in the area in 2019, along with what's going on in football and softball. This podcast is sponsored by the good folks at Lutz Brown Pegler, Manly Insurance in Homerville, Roberts Milling Company, the Shack Cafe, and Country Cabin in Axon County. We appreciate those folks. And before we get started, we're going to hear a word from one of them.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manly in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Welcome back to your Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Eccles County Echo, Atkinson County Citizen, and Lanier County Advocate. I'm joined by Blake Pittman, editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. One of the big news this week in all of our newspapers and all of our area really was the threat of Hurricane Dorian, which started out threatening as a Category 5 hurricane as it hit the Bahamas. And really, Blake, we had the best of everything in terms of our little area here, in that it slowed down right before, in terms of the intensity of it. Went from a Category 5 to a Category 1 by the time it was skirting the Georgia coast, but it stayed outside on the coast. And then I woke up this morning, and from what I understand, it's intensified, gone back to a Category 3 as it goes along South Carolina, and it's gotten more dangerous. And we didn't have, I don't think any of our schools were canceled, right?
No, none of ours were. Atco State, Atco had a power outage, but it was to a Georgia Power something or other. Mm-hmm. But they didn't cancel school at all. No.
And we were thinking earlier in the week, or actually probably late last week, because this storm, we've been waiting on this thing for 2 weeks, because it was going at one point 1 mile per hour. Now, when I say that, I mean it was moving north at 1 mile per hour. The winds were 150 miles per hour, and maybe just more than that.
Leveled parts of the Bahamas.
Tore it to pieces. But then right after it hit, I don't know what, something slowed it down, and we were really fortunate in the United States so far nothing really happened. But our folks, it seemed like, and of course we're accustomed to this, especially lately in the last 5-6 years, it seems like every year we get hit about this time with a hurricane threat. Our EMA guys, Randy Patton in Lanier County, Will Joyce over here in Clinch County, and who's the EMA person in Axon County?
Robbie Stone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Robbie Stone. They do a good job of preparing us and getting us ready for these kind of things, and giving us the information that we need. And I hope folks have learned that, social media can be a very good tool, but when you use social media, still use credible people to get your information. Exactly. And that would include the EMA office, the National Weather Service, us, your local newspapers and news gatherers or professionals, and only put out information that we know is accurate, and not, you know, Aunt Marcy down the street, you know, may tell you something insane that she heard at the Huddle House.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back parking lot at Piggly Wiggly.
And I think hopefully over the years we've sort of conditioned people to do that and trust the EMA people. And, you know, because this is coming again. I mean, before this month's over, we'll probably have another one.
Yeah, we're just starting hurricane season. Yeah. So it's going to go on into October.
But anyway, on all of our newspapers, we have stories about that. Of course, the main thing with those hurricanes, because it changes from hour to hour, that's where our Facebook and our Twitter and our websites are really where you should go for more accurate, up-to-date information.
Exactly. And another thing I want to mention, Lynn, that we've beat it to death here in the last couple of years, but if you're not signed up for the Code Red Alert system, you need to probably make sure you do that. And we have links to those posted on our Facebook pages as well as the EMA pages. Now, what that does for you that might not be familiar, it allows you to go in and register your cell phone number, your home phone number, your email, and stuff of that nature. So when they issue warnings and watches, you'll get a phone call and a text and an email. So that way, if you're out and about working or wherever, somewhere where you can't stop and take the time to check the Facebook page to see if there's something you need to know about, you're still getting the alert, you know, to your phone. And so, I mean, it's worth it. I have it here in Clinch and Atco. And granted, it can be a little annoying sometimes when it lightens on the back corner of Atkinson County and they get a warning. But I mean, it's really worth it when these storms come through because you have those alerts right there at your fingertip. You don't actually have to look for them.
And it'll tell you, it'll give you an indication of how serious it is. And a lot of times, I get one, I'm signed up for Code Red in Lanier County, our office there, as well as our office here. So a lot of times, I won't know what the weather's like in Lanier County, and they'll give me an alert, and then I can call Lorraine or whoever.
Yeah.
And if we need to get prepared in some way, we can do it. So, yeah, it's a valuable service. And again, if you need to find out how to do, sign up for that service, usually you can find it on our Facebook pages or in Lanier County. I know it's in our briefs. So, all right. So that was the big news of the week, and it was actually ended up being good news. Now, yesterday, an event happened here in Clinch County, which is being investigated by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. We haven't had any of our newspapers yet, but we do have a short story on our Facebook page. And what this is about is a Clinch County Sheriff's Department officer shot a person in the Travisville area of Clinch County between Homerville and Argyle. And the information that we've received so far has been very limited. And here's what we do know, that there was a person who was in Sheriff's Department custody because they were having court at the courthouse earlier in the week. That person escaped from custody. Was found in that Travisville area. There was some type of standoff or some type of incident where the sheriff's department was trying to apprehend this individual, and that individual was shot by one of the officers. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation is investigating this. That's what is the standard when an officer is involved in a shooting one way or the other. And they'll investigate it and determine whether or not, it was justified or what the situation was. And that's all, that they're releasing at this point. They have not released the name of the victim, the name of the officer. I know that the victim is alive and that has been taken to get medical attention, but that's all that's been released at this point. That's all that we're the rest of it is word on the street. I imagine hopefully by the time the paper comes out, we'll have the full story on that. So look into Clinch County News this week. Again, we've reported what we know on our Facebook page, and that's probably all what we'll report. Now, I saw where WALB was here a little while ago at the courthouse, so, but they had less than we did, so I don't know if they'll have anything. One other thing I wanted to mention before we go to a break And this is a story that's on the front page of the Clinch County News. And it's a welcome sight is the completion of the four laning of Highway 84 from Homerville to Waycross. They're still tinkering with different parts of it, but if you drive from Waycross to Homerville or from Homerville to Waycross, it's four lane. You don't have
so
to.
Nice.
There's not single lanes anymore. Man, we went in the other day. The school, and this was pretty neat. University of Georgia, I think, had a bus come over to the high school and pick up a bunch of the juniors and seniors and sophomores, anybody wanted to go, and they took them to Waycross to Ware County High School, where representatives from University of Georgia, Georgia State University, and Georgia Tech were there to tell them what they expect in their admission process, when you should apply if you want to go to one of these schools, da-da-da-da. But, man, the ride home seemed like it took about 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Because
you don't have to trail behind semis.
You don't have to get behind, these log trucks. I mean, that road was notorious for years and years and years for being hard to pass because it was sort of windy. Mm-hmm. And now it's just glorious, Blake, to be able to drive over there. And we went to the Ware County football game last weekend, and drive home was, we got home in 21 minutes, I think.
Wow. Now if they'll just up some of those speed limits to 65, perfect.
They got something. Now, of course, you still have to contend with
the roundabouts,
and
which are wonderful
in Argyle. But now I've figured those out a little bit. If you're going from the west to the east, it is faster to go through the city of Argyle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stay in that right lane. Don't do the bypass.
Yeah.
Go down to old 84, and it's quicker. And of course, I figured it out when I was going there, and a guy was behind me, and then when I got around there, he was in front of me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But I want our listeners in Atkinson County or Lanier County, Valdosta, wherever you are, to know this, because we want, a lot of times people in the past couple of years to stay away from that 84, they would go around Homerville.
They'd go down 122 through Cogdale.
They would go. I know friends of mine that live in Cairo to go to St. Simon's all the time. They'll go to Lakeland, Lakeland through Cogdale to Waycross, and then go to St. Simon's that way. And now it's a lot quicker to come this way. And
now it's four lane from Valdosta all the way to Waycross.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can just scoot and boot, and it's a nice little highway.
And Boogie, was that a reference to a Brooks and Dunn
catch? It was. No, that wasn't. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'll be back for more after this message from one of our wonderful sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They're open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Hello, wonderful podcast people. Welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. We're talking about the news and events going on and Clinch, Atkinson, Eccles, and Lanier counties. One of the things that we have in the Clinch County News this week is qualifying for a special election in Fargo. What happened there was the guy who's the mayor, Bappy Griffiths, decided to run for one of the council seats rather than run for mayor, so he resigned as mayor, and so they're having a special election. The qualifying for that, if you are eligible in Fargo and want to be the mayor, you can qualify next week, Tuesday, September 17th, Thursday, September 19th, and Friday, September 20th. That election will be held at the same time the other municipal elections are going on in Georgia, which is on November 5th. And there will be qualifying for the other municipal seats was, I think, 2 weeks ago. And in Clinch County, in Homerville, we'll have one race, I believe, for city council. That's Willie Hardy is being challenged by Carlos Whitley. Some guy named Lynn Robbins is running unopposed. I don't know if he'll get the one vote needed to get elected. We'll see.
He's going to get it. He's going to get it. We're gonna make sure of that.
Did y'all? Did y'all talk about that last week? Yeah, you did. Okay.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. And I'm kind of disappointed that you ran unopposed because I was really looking forward to taking jabs at your opponent. And you know, I'm totally kidding.
I was not. I've been living well, Blake. God has blessed me with no opponent.
That's why I said I was going to do it, and so you didn't have to do it. I was going to be your pot stirrer.
I hear you. Well, hopefully we'll have enough of that somewhere around. And then also Argyle will have a race because – and they do it differently where they have – they're going to have five candidates for four spots, the top four vote-getters. Mm-hmm. Serve on the council.
That's how I do it in Pearson.
Yeah, and in Fargo, they'll have a race in which Bappy Griffiths, we just mentioned, District 4, he qualified for that, and he's running against Dale Smith. There was no incumbent in that seat because Johnny Griffiths, who was Bappy's father, was serving on there and decided not to run. Now, what in Argyle, I mean, not in Argyle.
Pearson, we've got a city council, mm-hmm. and they do theirs at large as well. So we've got three council seats up this time. We have five people running. Mm-hmm. We have Ricky Thomas and Jason Joyner are running for their seats. Tony Williams is running for his seat as well, mm-hmm. but he missed qualifying by like 3 hours, so he's running as a write-in candidate. He had to run, you know, the proper legal things, but he will be on the ballot. It'll just be as a write-in candidate. And they're also being challenged by Wade Carver. He's a local firefighter. He actually lives across the road from our office, and Don Garcia, another resident of Pearson. Mm-hmm. That's the only contested race, which I mean, there's three contested seats. Five people are running, top three will get it. Now, Willacucci, the three council seats ran unopposed, but we do have a challenger for mayor. So there'll be a mayoral race in Willacucci.
And those will be, there'll be no primaries. Those are nonpartisan, right?
That's right.
And so it'll be in November is when that goes on, November 5th. Football season, man, it is we're right in the middle of it, and a big game, one of the biggest games really in the state this week will be tomorrow, and we're recording this on Thursday, mm-hmm. is Clinch County at Brooks County. Clinch is ranked first in Class A. I think Brooks is ranked fifth or seventh maybe in Double A, and Clinch is not beaten Brooks County in Quitman at Veterans Stadium since 1989.
It's been a while.
They are 0-6 since then. And and the last time we played there, I think we lost 17-14. That was in 2017. Panthers won their opener 2 weeks ago against Hebron Christian. Brooks County defeated Mitchell County 2 weeks ago. Both teams have had a week off. And they beat Mitchell County, I think it was 63-50. Is that right?
Yeah.
And, Blake, I saw some film from that game. And I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
I mean, does that mean that and when I was talking to Coach Ty, at first, this is my thought was, well, Brooks' defense must be horrible.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they weren't that great last year when we scored 37 points on them. Of course, I think they played a horrible game and we played just lights out.
Yeah, a great
game. Because, you know, everything before then after then sort of backed that up. But I talked to Coach Tyson this week on Sunday, and he gave me a different perspective. He thought that Mitchell was just really good and Brooks was really good, and that they were just very similar, very big, very fast, very athletic, and that it was just a knockdown drag out and that we're going to have our hands full all over the field.
Yeah.
So that sort of scared me.
Well, you know, their middle school team was pretty solid like that when we played them this year.
Who?
Brooks.
But Brooks' middle school last year was dominating. Yeah. I mean, they were just great.
I was gonna say, Brooks, you know, generally they have a solid team anyways.
Oh, yeah. So that game is going to be in Quitman, like we said, and is really one of the bigger games in South Georgia. So we got that to look forward to. Now, the Rebels play Berrien?
Rebels go to Brantley. They played Berrien last week in Nashville and lost 61-43.
Another shootout.
Yeah, and according to Coach McGowan, he said it was just littered with turnovers and mental mistakes. You know, he said they came up short because they couldn't make open field tackles. And, you know, he said tackling really, really hurt them. The defense just didn't get the job done on third down to, you know, give them a chance to stay in it. But, yeah, they go to Brantley this week at 7:30 and they hunt. Then they take next week off, and then the next week they'll host Charlton. They'll start that scary region schedule.
Well, and here's the other scary thing about that. Brantley beat the dog out of Charlton last week.
Yeah, they did.
So I'm here's what I think, and this is, again, just conjecture by me, but I think Brantley's a little bit better than they usually are. Mm-hmm. I think Charlton's down.
Yeah, I think Charlton, yeah. You know, usually before Charlton would be like Clinch, when they had what they called a down year, they'd still go 8-2 or whatever and make a deep playoff run. But I think this has been the first year in a long time that Charlton has just been, you know, decimated across the board, especially if Brantley beat them like they did last week.
Yeah, and if you remember, when we went to go play Charlton at Charlton last year, they had 20-something seniors on their team. And when I looked at their starters, you know, and that's we've got a ton of starters from Clinch's team this year, but not all of them are starters. Yeah. I mean, next year we'll still have 5 people back on offense and 6 on defense, just like usual. They had like 2 starters coming back on one side, maybe 3 on another. I mean, it was going to be a real rebuilding year for them. And McWhirter, of course, Rich McWhirter now, he took that opportunity to leave and go to Jackson County. So I think, yeah, they're in a big-time rebuilding mode. And over in Lakeland, the Bulldogs lost, and we had a lot of shootouts going on in the second week of the season. They lost to Montgomery County at home 41-39. And I think that was a sort of a moral victory for them, that they played well and just, you know, fell short. Of course, Lanier County's still young. They take the week off this week, and then they'll play – they'll go down to Hamilton County, Florida. I think they're going to win that game. That'll be their first win in 2 seasons.
Yeah, it will be. I hope they do anyway.
Yeah, so that's what's going on in football. With now, where's the game with Brantley?
It's in Nahanna.
Nahanna, yep. Okay. In Caney Bay. Isn't that what it's called? Or?
I have no idea what it's called.
Some kind of Heron.
The Swamp.
Ditch Chickenville
Land
or something.
Of the Ponscoggins or something of that effect.
All right. Softball is also going on in all of our areas, and Lanier County girls are really tearing it up in Region 2A. I believe they're still undefeated and in first place. And then so far it seems like you got them, you got Wilcox, it's a really good team, Charlton's really good, Telfair, Clinch and Atkinson right there behind them, sort of.
Kind of.
And then on the bottom, you got Irwin, Turner, and Eccles has fallen off hard.
Yeah, Eccles lost that standout pitcher last year. And
lost Morgan Hill, who I think she's about on state playing.
Yeah.
And so Lanier has just been tearing it up. And Clinch, I believe, is 6-7. And I believe the power ratings come out next week. Yeah. Which will be the first power ratings of the season, which will give you an indication of who can potentially make the playoffs, because that's how they determine the playoffs in Class A's, based on power ratings, which is based on your wins, your losses, who you played, and how they did during the season. And Lee Douglas, Clinch's softball coach, came and spoke to the Lions, Clinch County Lions Club today. And he thinks that they will be, when the power ratings come out, if they win the next 2 games, which they think that he thinks they will, and that they'll be about 15th in the power ratings, which means that the top 24 teams get in. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, they're still midway through the season. But that's sort of the goal for the Clinch County softball team, is to get into the playoffs. They have not been in the playoffs. I don't know if they've ever been in the playoffs. And so for them to get in the playoffs would be pretty big for that softball program.
Yeah, ATCO's sitting at 2-7 right now. Mm-hmm. They're in a pretty bad rebuilding year. I mean, they lost third baseman, shortstop. They lost their pitcher, catcher, their utility player. I mean, they lost a lot of their core talent last year. So they're rebuilding, you know, Coach Wayne Sermon. So they're 2-7. They beat Eccles twice.
You know, one thing I want to mention that was in I saw Clinch after the in football after the Brooks game. They go to Dooley County. Yeah. Dooley County let their coach go after one game.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was a new coach, Ashley Harden. And I don't know what the situation was, but they sent out a press release yesterday saying, as of right now, he's no longer the head football coach, and this other guy's our head football coach. So that's bad.
Softball coach.
Huh?
Softball, not football.
Oh, what'd I say?
You said football coach.
No, it is the football. I'm talking about football.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about softball.
No,
sorry.
Football.
And we go there next week.
Yeah, they'll have.
It's always a fun place to play.
Yeah, and but that program is in disarray. Obviously, if you get rid of your coach after one game,
yeah, there's something mixed up. That's the only place I've ever went to play football. I felt like I needed an armed escort to get in. Those fans
rough.
Are in your face from time you pull on the property to time you leave, buddy.
Yeah, it is rough. So, all right, well, tell us about the story that was in the Axon County Citizen about the Safe Haven program.
Yeah, the Safe Haven law basically has been in effect for a couple of years now. It was actually enacted in 2002. But what it applies to are mothers who have babies and don't want the child or whatever. You know, the ones that don't opt out for like abortions or whatever and go through the pregnancy and then decide they don't want it. You know, here recently, Lynn, we've seen it seems like every month or so you turn around and there's officers finding a baby that's been abandoned somewhere because they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to get rid of their baby or whatever. There's no excuse for it. But according to the Safe Haven law, if a mother feels that her child is unsafe or she's unable to be cared for it, she has up to 30 days actually to drop the newborn off at a medical facility, a fire station, or a police department. Now, under the law, a mother can avoid prosecution for abandonment of her child if she takes it to one of these places and voluntarily surrenders it. The baby must be given to an employee or volunteer at the facility. Mothers are not required to provide any information. You know, they'll still be asked about family history, medical conditions, stuff of that nature. Then the baby is placed under state custody. So what's happening, Fire Chief Robbie Stone, they're going through the process to make the Atkinson County fire stations safe haven sites. So Atkinson County will have, you know, a location if this were ever to happen in the county, if somebody was to be coming through the county or, you know, or what have you. Now, granted, it has to go through approval by Pearson and Willacoochee City Councils and the Board of Commissioners, but Chief Stone said he's almost positive they'll go through that. And then they'll go through the procedures of being certified and how they're volunteer firefighters. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you wish you didn't have to deal with it. But, you know, it's a thing, and people apparently abandon babies, and so now they are making it where they have a safe alternative to get the baby in custody where it'll be taken care of or whatever. So, but yeah, that's on the front page this week. Check that out.
And tell us about what's coming up and what is on Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast.
This week on Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure, we discussed quite a few things, or not say local, good gracious. There's a celebrity who was in a car accident and got hurt. We talked about that. We talked about some upcoming Netflix is releasing the Breaking Bad sequel. It's called El Camino or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that. We talked about some movies in some theaters or some movies that are coming out. And our top five this week, we talked about our top five Saturday Night Live skits of all times. Mm-hmm. Was a fun list because there are so many of those. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a good time. It was our shortest episode by far. I think we were only an hour and 15 minutes. And we've really worked on cutting it down and focusing on the material so it's not 2 hours long. And this coming week, if he's able, Lynn will be joining us, and we're going to be discussing our top five sports movies of all times. And so that should be interesting, to say the least.
I have been doing my homework. I'm going to have some picks that are going to shock and awe everyone involved.
I'm kind of, you know, every week I'm interested to see what Ben pulls. Last week I told him that I wasn't convinced that he's not a quantum leaper, you know, that's from like an older life, but just got stuck here and can't leave. And I said,
especially
because
every time
he picks something, it's like he's like a 60, 70-year-old soul trapped in this 30-something-year-old body. And as for a guy that, you know, the only sport I've ever known him to play, I mean, he played baseball when we were young, but as he got older in high school, all he ever played was tennis. Mm-hmm. And so he's never really been that interested in sports. So I'm very interested to see what movie. He'll pull some random movie that's about some off sport that, well, I mean, that's not even a sport, Ben. Ping pong. He'll be like dodgeball and underdog
that's
story.
Happy Gilmore.
Those will be his sports movie. Yeah.
Happy Gilmore is, I think, a sports movie. I don't know if dodgeball, I guess it is.
He'll pick some of those. Yeah. But it is now because they have competitive dodgeball.
So I love dodgeball, but it's not on my list.
It's not going to be on mine either. But yeah, that's what we're going to discuss this week. We record those on Sunday night, and they're usually out on Tuesdays. You can catch us on the Facebook page, of course. But now we're on Spotify, Google Playlist. We're on Stitcher. We're on Radio Public, and there's one more that I can't think of right now. We're on Anchor.fm. So you can check those out on those apps. You can look them up. You can subscribe to them. Every time we post one, it'll send you a little ding to your phone, and you know it's ready to go. So yeah, check that out. We have fun with it if nobody else enjoys listening to it.
I enjoy it.
Before we get out of here, Lynn, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column's about this week?
It's about shotgun. Shotgun rules, actually, the definitive rules of shotgun for the world. And if you don't know what shotgun is when you call shotgun, you're calling the seat that is the passenger seat in an automobile. Yeah. And it gives a little history and also gives the rules of when and what happens during a tie for calling shotgun. And, you know, basically it's something that you need to read at least once, then cut it out and put it on your refrigerator or keep in your pocket just in case a dispute comes up about shotgun. This is the definitive rule book.
Now, is this an epiphany that you had on your own?
Yes.
Years of experience?
It's nobody had written the shotgun rule, so I decided to do it and serve my fellow man that way.
This is why in the next 10 years I'm going to push you for a presidential run. I'm just going to say,
I think it is.
Because things like this, and we talk about budgets and we talk about national debt, and we talk about foreign policy. This is the stuff that we need to be addressing as a country. Shotgun rules, things you can do with old newspapers.
Exactly.
Why Smokey and the Bandit is a national treasure. Those are things we need to be discussing.
Exactly. And you can do that with this week's column. So grab you a copy of it. Make sure, like I said, you're going to need to. This is one you need to keep. Maybe laminate
in
some way.
Hang it on your refrigerator.
Yeah, just in case that comes up.
In every automobile, in the visor,
exactly.
So it's on hand.
You have been listening to the Behind the News podcast. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate our sponsors. Lutz Brown Pigler Manley Insurance in Homerville, Roberts Milling Company over in Pearson, also in Pearson, the Shack Cafe, and Country Cabin Restaurant. Tell those folks you appreciate them sponsoring the Behind the News podcast. Tune in next week about this time. We'll, again, go over what's going on in Clinch, Atkinson, Eccles, and Lanier counties and give you the scoop. We appreciate you listening. We will see you next week.